how to become a strong Christian. I think everybody wants to have that goal. On Wednesday night, we did an intense Bible study on this, how to become a strong Christian. In becoming a strong Christian, you've got to draw the conclusion it doesn't just happen. It's a process. There's things involved in becoming a strong Christian. It's not a give me. You cannot take it for granted. It's not automatic. There's work, there's commitment, there's dedication involved, and there are two other things that you and I do not like that are involved. What would those two things be? Two things that are going to be thrown into the mix to make us strong Christians. They both start with a T. T-R. T-R-I. T-R-I-A. Trials. How many of you love trials? Oh, come on, you weaklings. What about temptations? They will come. All those thrown into the mix to develop character, to make us stronger in the Lord. And then to add on to that, difficult times. Oh, there's going to be challenges. All Christians, do they have challenges? Who's the greatest challenge for the Christian? Your brother and sister. Your brother and sister. Why? We see each other regularly. We're on the same path. Jess, it's so nice seeing you at the back. Come on, Jess, give her a great hand. She's been very, very sick. Hasn't been for ages. Love seeing you. Come on, we see each other so often. We're on the same path, but we want to grow in the Lord. The enemy's not happy with the peace. The enemy's not happy with the growth. The enemy's not happy us representing the greatest authority in all the world. And that's not the United States. That's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. So wherever he can get into the mix, he's going to get into the mix. Well, what's the alternative? If I don't want to become a strong Christian, what is the alternative? What do you think? What's the alternative? We are saying, I want to become a strong Christian. The alternative is, I stay weak. What's the point in staying weak? Being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Succumb to every temptation. To give in at every difficulty. There is no endurance. So if we don't want to become strong Christians, we're going to remain weak. And when we remain weak, there's another word that goes with that. We're ineffective. We're very ineffective. In other words, it's like the salt that has lost its saltiness. I want to become a strong Christian. I want to pursue that all the time. No matter the difficulties, no matter the challenges, I want to mature in the Word of God. I don't want to be ineffective. And the Bible refers to the weak, ineffective Christian as a baby Christian. What do baby Christians do? What was that? Wine. And no cheese? Wine. Find fault with everything. Complain about everything. Is never satisfied. Has never learnt to be content. But I want to become a strong Christian. Well, the question would be, what is strong? How do I define it? How do I get there? How strong is strong? Do I achieve it? Can I get to it? Or is it an ongoing process? What do you think? It's an ongoing process. We reach maturity, but that's not perfection. Look at Ephesians 6:10. I love it. New Living Translation. We're going to get to another translation somewhere else along the line. in the Amplified, a final word. Be strong. Where does your strength come from? Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And this verse means to make strong, to be vigorous, to strengthen ongoing. What will strengthen me though? What will strengthen you? Study the Bible. Prayer. What's going to strengthen you? How do you know your strength without challenges? Challenges reveals what? Weakness. So do I need challenges? Yeah. To reveal weakness somewhere. Or how many of us can say this morning, I've got no weakness? Liar, liar, your pants is on fire. So what do we have? Strengthen. To be strengthened. It's also used in the passive. To be strengthened. How am I to be strengthened? Is it self-reliance? Is it word reliance? Or does my strength come from somewhere else? Yet in this human body, I've got my natural strength. You have your natural strength. But is that what God is talking about? Not at all. Remember the scripture? You are not your own. Why? You've been bought with a price. Not silver, gold, but the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So I would present to you this morning, in becoming strong is an ongoing process, and it depends on something very important. What would that be? Our complete reliance on Him. To become strong in the Lord, it's my complete reliance on Him pertaining to my daily life. That's why, think about it, complete reliance on Him. Not when I need Him. Oh God, I need you right now. No. I got to rely on Him every day. My existence is because of Him. Do I say thank you every minute? No, I don't. I already take for granted I'm alive because of Him. I don't think about it. I know that I can do things because of Him. I don't have to think about it. But I do know that through my daily life, every single day, I communicate with Him. And there's times I intercede for people. I intercede for you. I intercede for either myself. I intercede for the church. I communicate with God. It's an ongoing communication. But that doesn't make me perfect. But what I realize about Paul, and he sets the example, and we've quoted this scripture, you may have memorized it already, Galatians 2:20. Let's read it together. I have been what? When did that happen? When you gave your life to Jesus. I have been crucified with, and what does he say? I, myself, oh, so who lives? Look at that. And how much of us is still in us? How much of me is still in me? And not the fruit of the Spirit. And not the joy of the Lord. Look at this. And I myself no longer live. So who lives in me then? So I've got dual occupancy over here? I live, he lives? No. I myself no longer live. But Christ lives in me. And the real life, the life that matters, is not my old sinful nature. It's this new nature that I have in Christ. And the life I now have, or the real life I now have within this body, the life in the body, is a result of what? My trusting in the Son of God. How often? Daily. Trusting Him to lead me, to guide me. Trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, to understand this entire reliance, and that's where you and I fit in very good this morning. Perfect, as a matter of fact, that we can tell our brain, my mate, you're not in charge. You make decisions, but your life actually comes from the Holy Spirit. Your life comes from God. Everything that I have, everything that I possess, my abilities, my strength comes from Him. In my weakness, and that's what I love, in my weakness, His strength is manifested. But I've got to live up to that. I can't say that I'm super strong on my own. No, I can't. Because John 15 verse 5 brings me back to basics, brings me back to the solid level on ground. Yes, I am the vine, Jesus says. And you are the branches. Sometimes we think we are a branch unto ourselves. Whoever lives in me, remember what Paul said? I no longer live, but I live in him, or he lives in me. Yes, yeah, guys. Whoever lives in me and I in him shall produce a tremendous amount of weeds. No? How many of us are still producing weeds? Whoever lives in me and I in him shall produce a what? What fruit? Is lemon a fruit? Kind of. What kind of fruit? Galatians. And the fruit of the? Is? Love. Joy. Peace. I accept that. But here comes the blow. Here comes the knockout blow. What do you think it is? For apart from me? How often are we so egotistic? I can do it. Really? As I said to you, I think it was last week or the week before, what control do you have over your life? What control? You can't give a guarantee you're going to be alive tomorrow morning. You can't give me a guarantee that a virus can't come into you and mess your whole life up. There's no guarantee. So what do we look? What do we look at? For apart from me, you can't do a thing. So where do I get my strength from? Where's my existence? In him. Where does my joy come from? Where does my peace come from? Where does my strength come from? Guys, it's all about him. We've got to become more minded of him and not ourselves. And that's why I believe that we can become strong Christians if we redirect our thinking, our behavioral pattern, our study pattern at the same time. King David had a great love for God. Oh my gosh. He had a deep love for God. He was human. Did he screw up? Bad. Right? But he had a deep love for God. But do you believe that he had such a deep love for God that he didn't see much of a problem? He always saw that all things were possible through God who gives him the strength. Yeah. When he goes into battle, he's with me. Face the giant? Oh, let's kill this giant. He didn't see it as a problem. So he was invigorated by God. And when I look at King David and his deep love for God, I know that he went through some very deep valleys in his life. But look what he says in Psalm 18, verses 1, 2, 3. Isn't that beautiful? I love you, Lord. We did it this morning, but how often during the course of the day do you say, I love you, Lord? Just shut everything out. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. Our problem at times is that we concentrate on God more in our trials than we concentrate on him in our good times. Look at his confession. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my savior. My God is my rock, in whom I find what? Protection. He's my shield. Why do I need a shield? All the arrows coming my way. He's my shield. The power that saves me. Oh, isn't this beautiful? A place of safety. When everything in this world makes so much noise, don't miss Wednesday night Bible study. It's a smorgasbord of artificial intelligence and a whole lot of stuff, videos I'm presenting to you. This Wednesday night's going to be a humdinger. He's my place of safety. When everything seems so wild out there, I need to have peace, and the peace is within. He's my peace. Notice what he says. I called on the Lord, who is worthy of praise. And what did he do? He saved me from my enemies. Why? Why? Because I'm reliant on him. And I told you we're going to go back to Ephesians 6 verse 10. But Ephesians 6 verse 10 in the Amplified Version, it's a very good verse for us to read together. Listen what it says. Come on, not listen. Join in with me. In conclusion, be what? Strong in the Lord, which means what? Be empowered through your? He's the vine, you the branches. Draw strength from him, which means what? That strength which his boundless might provides. Is that beautiful? Be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. I am the vine, you are the branches, and he gives us everything we need. We draw strength from him as well. So strong in this particular Amplified Version and the New Living Translation, which we read earlier on, strong means to be filled with inherent power. In other words, it's not our power. It's power that's come from him. As a matter of fact, they can use this word as dunamis. So we find this power is operational within us. It's also active. Man, no mosquitoes growing over here. It's active. It's achieving power. And because we're strong in the Lord, it's the same kind of power that he has, because he's working through us. And he has that beautiful scripture. We said, we're looking at basics. No. We're looking at scriptures this morning that can build you up in trials and difficult times, so that you can recognize he is the vine, I'm the branches. My love for him helps me to generate that power, or to allow that power to flow through me. Come on, you know this in Philippians 4:13. Our problem is we know the scripture, but we seldom apply it. Now let's read this one together, because I want you to take this to heart this morning. I have what? For what? For all things, where? In Christ. What does he do? He empowers me. In other words, I'm what? Ready for anything and equal to anything through him who does what? Infuses inner strength into me. In other words, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. How are you doing so far in applying that? Honey, go back again for me, please. There we go. Nope, so not too much. Whoa. Man, this is like a disco this morning over here. She wants to dance. I have strength for all things. Good times, bad times. Mountaintops, valleys, who cares? If you can memorize some scriptures, I know Joe's using a scripture a lot with some of the teens and getting them to memorize scriptures. Adults, you need to memorize some scriptures, because through some of your very difficult times, you can fall back on these scriptures and say, I'm not going to drop out. I'm not a quitter. I have strength for all things. When everything seems so bleak, I have strength for all things in Christ. Our focus is Christ. This earth is only temporary. This life is only temporary. Challenges come and go. Valleys come and go. Mountaintops come and go. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready. So if I'm ready, what happens if it catches you by surprise? You're still ready? You're still ready? I am ready. Wow! That just came out of nowhere. I'm ready. Why? Because of my union with Him, my relationship with Him. I am ready for anything. Remember, I use that phrase quite a bit. When we go through challenges, bring it on. Now, that's not a carnal thing. Bring it on. That's not a carnal thing. It's a spiritual thing. Why? Because of this. I am ready for it. Are you bombastic? No, I'm confident. Confident in yourself? No, confident of Him that lives in me. But what happens if you get overpowered? How can I get overpowered? I may be knocked down, but not out. Who empowers me, I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who does what? How does that infusion help? How often is the infusion? Daily. Daily. Infuses inner strength into me. Now, guys, pause for a moment. How many of us can really say this morning, I'm self-sufficient? Think about that. Older Christians, how many of you can say, I'm self-sufficient? I need nothing. Or are you pursuing, wanting? Get to this point. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. What else can Christ give us? He's given us love. He's given us joy. Oh, He's given us life. He's given us peace. He's forgiven us. What more do I need? Nothing. Nothing. I'm self-sufficient. And that's why I love what Paul says. I've learned to be content in every situation. I know what it is to be hungry. And we can add a whole lot of things there. I know what it is to have challenges. I know all these things. But I've learned to be content. How did he learn that? Through experience. How did he get experience? By making dumb mistakes. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. The result of that is giving the infusion of strength in our lives every day is the assurance of victory. I have observed over the years, for 45 years, somewhere down there, the small amount of Christians that live a victorious life. Others are up and down. When it goes good for them, they're happy. When it doesn't go well for them, they're down in the valley. I want to give you the assurance today. If He fills you with inherent power, you are assured of victory. In other words, failure is not an option. But this is what I've learned over the years. Failure is not an option. But it does happen at times. We do fail. But Henry Ford made this statement. Failure is simply the opportunity to begin again. And this time, a little bit more intelligently. He was wise. What did he accomplish? How many failures did he have? I think there's stats out there. How many failures did he have, Henry Ford? Doesn't really matter. But he saw it as an opportunity to begin again, and this time more intelligently. We must trust Him and keep expecting victory even when we see setbacks. Oftentimes, we expect the victory. There's a setback And then we are set back instead of pursuing. Because we know that when we're in him, the battle is already won. We're assured of ultimate victory, no matter how bleak things look at times. The world is looking bleak out there. How do you perceive it? Nations are rising against nations. AI is disrupting everything the way we know it. There's fear. There's anger. There's hatred. We see the hatred in our country. We see the bitterness. What do we see that's positive? Not much. So do we get despondent? Do we get discouraged? Or do we look further and say, I know in whom I believe, and he's gone to prepare a place for me. I'm only a pilgrim marching through. I don't know how I'm going to live, how long I'm going to live. Be it 70, 80, 90, it doesn't really matter. All of us is going to live to a certain age and then bye-bye. We're assured of victory. And here's a beautiful thing for you to recognize this morning. If we have this inherent power, if he is the vine, and you and I am the branches, there's something you can take to the bank. He's with us. No matter where we are, no matter the difficulty, no matter the heartache, no matter the trial. Romans 8:31, God's word translation. What can we say about all of this? If God is, who can? Is that positive? Is that positive? If God is for us, okay, let's be simplistic. Who can dethrone God? Who was there before God? Who can challenge God? So if we come to the conclusion, God has no equal. That's the conclusion. If God has no equal and he is unique, what can we say about all this? If God, that is unique, that is omnipresent, that is all-powerful, if he's for us, who can be against us? So why are we worrying? Because sometimes we like to do it. We feel good. There isn't any power on earth or in heaven that can beat God in a fight. And when he's on our side, he even controls the battles we face. He won't always shelter us from danger. He'll allow us to go through it. There's times you go through the challenges. There's times you go through the valley. Sometimes it takes longer than you expected. But character is being developed. And not only that, trust in him, because he will never fail. And the recognition of God can and will do on our behalf makes us strong in the Lord. There's a certain statement that after Moses had died, Joshua had to take over. Young man Joshua. And God spoke to him because he was a man like you and I. He's now thrown into a leadership position of leading these grumbling, whining, stubborn goat nation, the Israelites. I don't know how Moses did it. I don't know how he stuck with all the complaining and the whining of the people. It wasn't only the animals bleating and blah, but the people. But here's something that has always been meant a lot to me, where God had this conversation with Joshua, young individual. And he said certain things to him that ties in with the New Testament that I've just read to you this morning. In Joshua chapter 1, and I've highlighted the words for you as well. He says to Joshua, you're going to take over and lead the people to Canaan. I want you to be strong. Now, in leading them to Canaan, were there challenges? Yeah. Oh, yeah. They had to go into war at times. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess the land, Canaan. Here's the question. Did Joshua ask for this? Did Joshua ask for this position? Nope. He was just a servant. He was just a servant to Moses. But what I find in Joshua, he was faithful. Faithful. No matter what. And so God told him, you are going to take these people to possess all the land. But now, remember, God is long term, not short term. The land that he was going to possess was what? Land I swore to your ancestors. We were generations ago. Land I swore to the ancestors I would give to them. Now look at verse 7. Be strong. There we find the word again. Be strong and very courageous. But now there's another word that's thrown into the mix. What is that word? Whoa. Obey. So does obey play a vital part in becoming a strong Christian? Why? Obedience is better than sacrifice. But be careful to obey all the instructions that was handed down to you, that you experienced what Moses was doing. Follow the template. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. And now, read, do not deviate from them. Okay, simple again. What happens if you deviate? What's the consequences of deviating from the instructions Moses gave him? What's the consequences? There must be a reason to tell him, do not deviate. Yeah, they are. Because if you deviate, you're not obeying. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left, or wherever the people want you to go. Only then will you be successful in everything you do. So when will he be successful? If he obeys. If he does not deviate. And now we get another thing thrown into the mix. Strong, courageous, obedience. And now another one? Study. Study the book of instruction. In our day, we will say, study the Bible. They never had the New Testament. Study this book of instructions continually. And now another word thrown into there. Another action is thrown into there. What is the action we got to do? Meditate. There's no ways I can sit and meditate the whole single day. No, but I have memorized scriptures. And I can meditate on those scriptures. Why? Because I've memorized them. Meditate on it day and night. So you will be sure. So he meditated on the instructions given to him by Moses, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. When we don't obey, there's consequences. When we obey, there's results. We see it in our daily lives. If we obey, there's results. If we disobey, there's consequences. Meditate on it day and night. So you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Once again, only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. If he slips up on one of them, he's got problems. So that's why we're going to take the word seriously. And that's why we're going to meditate. That's why we're going to obey. And now we go to verse 9. And now he's not playing around anymore. Now he's being emphatic that he's God. He's being emphatic. This is my command. Who wants to disobey a command that God gives? Yet we do. Yet we do. This is my command. And I would say to you, speaking to myself this morning, his command to us is be strong, be courageous. Not only strong and courageous, don't be afraid or discouraged by what we're seeing around us. Let me pause for a moment. Can I apply this Old Testament to the New Testament Christian? Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Because the old is fulfilled in the new. I can do that. And this is my command to my brothers, my sisters. This is a command from our Heavenly Father. Be strong and courageous. Don't be ineffective. Don't be a weakling. Be strong and courageous. Take on the challenges. Don't be afraid. Do not be discouraged. In other words, we're going to get those shoulders back. We're going to get this fight mentality where we fight against the powers of darkness, strengthened in our attitude, our mind, our composure. Do not be afraid or discouraged. And the reason is why? What is the reason for giving this command to be strong and courageous, not to be afraid, not to be discouraged? What is the reason that he gives this to us? Oh, what do I find that's so interesting? For the Lord your God is? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Isn't that beautiful? Where can I hide from his presence? Where can I go and not find him? Where? Where can I go? I can't. He's omnipresent. And now let's be honest with ourselves. How many times have we disobeyed that command? We have not been strong. We have not been courageous. We have been afraid. We have become discouraged. No. Come on. We got to fight this good fight of faith. He never abandons us to fight alone, so long as we don't run away from him. When we're strong in the Lord and the power of his might, there's no power that can stand against us. I want to try and sum this up with a few traits of strong Christians. Christians that are being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Christians that have studied the Word. Christians that are people that you can count on. People that have learned to walk through the trials with God and his Word. I'm going to give you a few traits of some of strong Christians. Number one, they're always positive under pressure. Always positive under pressure. Why? He's with me. Come on, guys. We can sort this out. Come on, guys. Our God is greater than the enemy. Come on. We try and be positive all the time. Is it mind over power? No. What was it? Positive thinking? No. It's not positive thinking. Mind over matter? No, it's not mind over matter. It's the scripture that we meditate on, that we recognize he's with us. Positive under pressure. Most people fall under pressure. But how can we get out of it if everybody is negative? There's got to be a leader. And that's where the strong Christian plays a vital part. Secondly, I've also experienced that Christians that have grown in the Lord are sensitive to the needs of others. They're also peacemakers. They're not troublemakers. They're patient. They're prayerful. I've recognized that in my own life. And to grow in spiritual maturity, we need to have a positive attitude when faced with trials and challenges. A spiritual mature person is also sensitive to the needs of others. We've got to be patient. Oh, that's being developed in us all the way. Patience is a virtue. How many of us get our prayers answered every single time? I'm waiting for certain prayers to be answered for a long time, and they're still not answered. Do I bother about it? Nope. In His time, I've learned to be content. A spiritual mature person is a prayerful person, a person that communicates with God constantly, meditating on His word. And I want to close this morning with Joshua 1, verse 7 and 8. Again, New Living Translation. And the reason I'm doing that is for you and I to go through this systematically and understand what He's saying. We recognize later on, He said, it was a command. This is before the command. Be strong and very courageous. Now you notice He started off with be strong and courageous. Now we find an additional word. Be strong and why? Why very courageous? Because of the challenges that are lying ahead. There's some big challenges. Don't be a wimp. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Let's go into the New Testament. Are there instructions in the New Testament as well? Yeah. And we've got to obey them. Oh, of course, do not neglect the gathering of the saints, as some are in the habit of doing. We can go through a slew of those things in the Bible as well. Do not deviate. I want to pause there for a moment. Do not deviate from them. From what? The instructions. With the age you and I am living in now, it's easy to deviate from the things of God. We have definitely entered the age of deception. There's no two ways about it. We've entered the age of deception. I don't know if I mentioned it to you on the Sunday morning, that they were already doing the trials with AI in a confessional box. And many of the Catholics are loving this. No priest has to be in a confessional box. You just go in and AI will speak to you. And the people are buying into this left, right, and center. And on Wednesday night, I'm going to show you some stuff that's been given to me. It's amazing. We are systematically like a frog in cold water, and the water is just getting heated and heated and heated. We are living in an age of transition. We are living in an age of deception, even within the church. And that's why He said to them, be careful to obey all the instructions. Now, Moses taken into the New Testament as well. Do not deviate. And that's it. Do not look to the left. Know in whom you believe. Know why you believe. And start walking with Him alone. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right, to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Can I ask you? Study this book. Study the Bible. Meditate on the scriptures regularly, daily. Obey it. Only then will you prosper and be successful. Now, I'm going to end off with a quote. Look at the quote on the screen. You serve a God who is what? Greater than? Is there any enemy in your life that you will face that's greater than God? So what's the problem? There is no problem. You know that scripture. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. So can I leave you with this morning? You serve a God who is greater than any enemy you will ever face. I don't care how great that enemy looks. I don't care who that enemy is. God is greater. God is stronger. God is all powerful. The enemy's got power, but He is all powerful. Keep focused. Stay focused. Walk with Him. Communicate with Him. Serve Him. And we're going to pray in a minute. How's grandma doing? How's mom doing in hospital? Is grandma still there? They were at Sight and Sound. I just watched Sight and Sound. They were going on the train, I think, and got a call from Maine. Tanya's mother was on her last. They had to ride over 10 hours to Maine. Well, grandma and mom is, was it now 2 days? She's still there. So we're going to intercede for Tanya as well and the family. So come, we pray together. Father, we do.